Good morning, it's the Luke Collins Radio Show on the Monday, the 5th of June 2017. We can't talk about the elections here at Sound Art. It's a policy that we don't talk about elections, so we're not going to touch on that. Today's show, I'm talking to Max Eakin, broadcaster, filmmaker. He has the Crow House on YouTube. He has recently been speaking at Ian Crane's Alternative View event. When I last spoke to Max, Max was just gone over to Gaza to see about the atrocities that were going on over in Gaza. Now, over the weekend, I had a little bit of stick over social media because I said the people who support Bridges Not Borders are going to be part of the problem. Sorry, that's my opinion. I'm being called a right-wing fascist and all sorts, which personally, I don't think so. Majority of people know the New World Order agenda. One world government, one world army, one world monetary system. You know, this is it. And how do they cause the tension and the racial hatred that's been going on within this country and others is by having open borders, letting the immigrants in. And this is what's happening. Now, we're playing into the hands, all the hatred, everything that's going on in this country at the moment, people, friends being put up against one another. What the show's going to be about today is basically the New World Order agenda and how it's progressing and Max's thoughts on it. So I'm not going to carry on waffling. I'm going to let Max do most of the speaking. So I'm going to bring him in now. It should be here. Oh, we've still got Muse going on. Hang on, let's put that Muse off. Thank you. And Max should be with us now. Hello, Max Eakin.
How are you, Lou?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good, darling. Good.
It's been a long time. I think the last time we spoke to you was on the Liberty Tactics show when you had just gone over to Gaza to check it out. I mean, that was years ago now. What's been happening? Tell us what you've been up to.
Well, that's 5 years ago. So,
blimey,
what's happening since then?
In a nutshell.
I'm in Harlem in Holland at the moment, which is good. It's pretty cold, but it's nice. But yeah, I mean, major stuff has been happening since then. I mean, the world's pretty well gone down the path we thought it was going to go down, and it's continuing to get worse. Mm-hmm. But I mean, good things on the horizon as well, bad things and good things. So, you know, there's always a silver lining somewhere, and you've got to look for that.
Yep.
So the government is certainly ramping things up in the last few years, as we've just seen in London.
And in Manchester the week before.
In Manchester the week before, yeah, the same old thing. So, I think all of this is contrived a whole lot. You know, whether it's actually, you know, homegrown extremists or whatever doing, or whether it's completely staged by the government, or whether it's completely fake. I mean, you know, I don't think it's completely fake. I think there probably were victims. I think it's a lot easier to have victims in these situations, but ultimately it all points towards the same thing, which is buying Muslim countries. I mean, whoever carried out this attack wants the bombings to increase on Muslim countries. They want further powers to the police. They want more lockdown in the UK. And they want to continue the same agenda. So what Muslims would carry out this attack? What's the point? I mean, all they're going to do is get another Tory government and continue the bombing of their countries in the Middle East. So,
absolutely. And it seems to be putting people against one another as well, you know, within the country. I mean, the New World Order agenda that so many people have been trying to expose, yourself included, for many, many years, far, far longer than myself and most others, Max. You've been at the forefront of it. The one world religion, the one world government, and this is how it all starts, doesn't it? Open borders, letting the immigration people come in. This is the whole agenda, isn't it? This will then cause the government to come and get involved and ban all religions, and we'll just have the one religion, we'll have the one monetary fund, we'll have the one world army.
Well, you know, this is why they bring all the immigrants into all these countries to begin with. Mm-hmm. So they can, and when they bring immigrants into your countries, into your country, into my country, into all countries, they set them up in their own communities. They don't let them integrate into society.
Exactly.
And then we go and wage war against these countries so that when it all turns pear-shaped, and of course they're going to stand up for their country. Of course they are.
Yep.
That's why they do it this way. And I mean, you would be the same if you were in a Muslim country.
Absolutely.
And they started British people started coming there, and, you know, it'd be the same.
Exactly. And you can't blame these immigrants because they want to get away. The governments have allowed the immigration to happen. So, of course, these families don't want to be living in these war-torn countries, and they want to make the best of it. You know, they want to get out. And so they have these open tickets to get into the other countries. So it's all contrived, really, by the powers that be.
Well, yeah, and if you look at the way it's been done in Europe, it's all, you know, the problem is the people that have come in are not refugees, most of them.
No.
And this has all been done according to the Kalergi Plan, which was penned in 1928, the plan to genocide the people of Europe via mass migration. That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
This has been a long-going thing, and it's not being done by the forces that we think it is. I mean, ISIS, for example, I mean, this so-called ragtag group of Takfiri extremists or Muslim extremists, they're not Muslims. I mean, they're going and destroying Muslim countries, destroying Muslim infrastructure. They're doing everything they can to promote the war of terror and to promote the bombing of the Middle East. So, you know, who are these guys working for? Every time the
and
West...
And who's funding them?
You know, these guys go and carry out a bombing somewhere. As soon as the Philippines decided they wanted to, you know, break ties with the United States and England and wanted to strengthen ties with Russia, we see these guys go and attack the Philippines.
Yeah.
So does that benefit?
Exactly.
You know? It's the West. It doesn't benefit Muslims. It doesn't benefit anything that these people are supposed to, you know, their ideologies that they're supposed to be standing up for. It doesn't benefit any of it. It only always benefits the whole Western agenda. So, yeah, he's really running this show.
Like to do quickly, Max, is a one-minute clip of Nigel Farage on his radio show back last July, and a Muslim gentleman phoned in, and there's all this, it was all to do with just after Brexit and then Trump putting in to become president. And there's a very, very short clip. I'm just going to play a little clip, and I'd like your thoughts, Max. So let's just see if this will play.
All right.
Yes.
Supported UKIP for the last couple of years, mm-hmm. and voted for you, and what you've done is a fantastic job.
Thank you.
It's probably a lone voice as a Muslim, but I'd like to just say, regarding Trump,
yeah.
I actually agree with what he's doing, and I would
I'm not hearing
agree
anything.
With him banning immigration for Muslims in for the next 5 years of what he wants to do.
You might not
now,
hear it your end,
sound
Max,
a bit
sorry.
Absurd to you, but at the end of the day, Trump is a patriot. He wants to... He wants to do what people like Cameron and I think May will do either, is look after his own people. He wants to put his country first and his people first. So if that means banning Muslims, all Muslims, even though a small percentage of those Muslims are Islamic extremists, he's doing what he feels is right. And he's actually, because at the end of the day, the US have a lot more problems than Islamic extremism. They've got the racial tensions between
yeah.
black people and white police. They've got the gun laws, which will never go away. You're going to have the shootings in the schools, etc. So what Trump is doing is great. As I've grown up in this country, I've been born in the early 70s. My parents came from Bangladesh in the early 70s, and they came in and they integrated. There wasn't any mosque around the corner. We integrated. But nowadays, we are being given, well, the people who have come here, the Muslims who have come here, you don't have to integrate. You've got my mum's worked for the NHS for the last 30 years. She's an interpreter. She interprets different languages to English. Now, back in the 80s when she started, there was a team of two. There's a team of God knows how many now, and there's an agency. So basically, you can come here. You don't have to integrate. You can do what you like. And people on the left side, they think they're supporting us. They think they're, yes, no, it's not all Muslims, it's not all Muslims. But at the end of the day, they're making life hell for us because the people like these Anand Chowdhuries, they should be kicked out. They should be. I know we keep on talking about human rights, but what about our human rights? What about the 84 people who died? Their human rights.
Well, basically, Max, you may not picked it up, but it was a Muslim gentleman phoning up LBC saying that he agreed with Trump with the travel ban when he came over to the United Kingdom back in the late 70s. Him and his family had to integrate with society. But now, because of our governments and kind of the left wing side, that the mosques in every single town, people coming into this country don't need to integrate with society. They can just stay within their things. They can go to these mosques where there are extremists, within those mosques, teaching the hate. And he's basically, you know, he was basically agreeing with what Trump wanted to do there with the travel ban, just to check people out. And, he was really just that basically what he was saying. He said, if we had to come to the country and we had to integrate with the British way of life, but now over the course of the years, that doesn't need to happen.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that there's no integration, you know. And, I mean, but I don't think Trump's travel ban was about that. I mean, I don't trust Trump. I trust Trump about as far as I can throw a submarine. But I think what he was testing the waters with the Department of Homeland Security, I think there was a whole political play going on there.
Yeah. What about your thoughts on Hillary, though? What were your thoughts on Hillary Clinton?
She's a career criminal.
Yeah. Better of the two? The lesser.
Well, no,
two,
I mean, no, absolutely not. But it's the same agenda. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, Trump's got stuff through that Hillary Clinton couldn't have got through as quickly as Trump has.
Yeah.
Because everybody was onto her. But it doesn't matter. I mean, it's the same thing. The same agenda's going forward. He hasn't changed anything. Mm. You know, he may look like he is on the surface. I just think he's making a real mess so they can possibly even impeach him. I don't know where he's going, but he's not calling things out for what they are. I mean, he could stop the whole war of terror straight away if he wanted to. Just call 9/11 out for what it is.
Yes.
And there's some people saying, oh, that's old news. No, it's not old news.
No.
All this stuff that's happening now, this bombing in London is directly related to
triggered by it.
9/11. The whole thing is related to 9/11. The entire war on terror is fake. You know, every country that we've gone and destroyed has been destroyed under false pretenses, and that's what's created this whole situation. Trump hasn't addressed any of that, and he's bending over backwards to pour money into Israel and Saudi Arabia.
This is true, yeah.
Saudi Arabia is the source of Takfiri terrorism and the source of Wahhabism, and where all these terrorists are coming from and getting funding from anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the same agenda. He hasn't changed anything. He's just come forth with a different game plan. Because the neocons were floundering. They were years behind schedule. Hillary's been milking as much money as she can out of the whole thing through this whole DynCorp, you know, stuff that she's running and all this human trafficking she's involved in. So Trump's just come along with a new game plan is all.
I did think it was a bit of a result, though, that the climate change, that he wasn't going to sign up for that. I think that was a bit of a bonus, because he obviously doesn't he's not falling for the globalization or the global tax for the global warming.
Well, you know, I think part of it is even just throwing a bone to the truth community, keeping them amongst each other.
Possibly. So what else have you been up to? What have you been focusing? Where's your main, your main route at the moment? What are you looking at?
Well, what I'm trying to do is work on a new film. I'm really trying to get some time to do that. I've been traveling so much, it's been hard to get the time to do it. But I've got a couple of weeks off in Holland at the moment, so I'm kind of working on that a bit. And I'd really like to try to even maybe, you know, cut the tour short and get home and make the film. There's a lot of important information coming out regarding transhumanism and where we're being led. I mean, that's what people aren't noticing below the surface of all this, is the whole electronic control grid that's coming online. Even here in Holland, a lot of the supermarkets are cashless now. I mean,
really?
I go in. Just for the sake of it, I go in there and I get food and I get a shopping bag and I go up to the counter and I tell them I want to pay for it. I'm an Australian tourist and I don't use credit cards. And they just don't know how to deal with me. So,
I don't know if ever in Australia, have they now got the whole contactless payments as well? Because that's yet again another step forward to next thing. It's going to be the microchips on the wrist, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about what do you mean contactless?
We have contactless payments, so you've got your card, and you don't need to even put it into the machine and type your PIN number anymore. All you do is you just flash the card at the little machine, and it's paid for. You don't need to enter any numbers in. You don't need to touch anything. You just bosh away you go. So the next thing is maybe a microchip under your skin to do the same thing.
Yeah, well, I don't use any of that though. I mean, they have that for sure, but I go to the bank. The ATM, I draw out cash and I always shop with cash. I don't buy anything with a card. I never have.
Mm. And the whole transhumanism agenda, that really is being sort of like rampant at the moment, isn't it? It's kind of looking in films. It's kind of appearing everywhere, just kind of getting people accustomed to it.
Well, it's the merging of man with machine, and they're making it very possible for this to happen, and they're making it very attractive. And unfortunately, the young kids are being led down this path. And they're doing it as well by making it untenable to be a natural human, because they're doing so much damage to natural humans, you know, through vaccines, through all the GM food, all the stuff that they're doing to us. I mean, three generations of eating GM food creates sterility in every species they've tested it on, rats, you know, mice, whatever. Yeah. They test it on, it creates sterility. So this is what's happening to the human race. And so while that's happening, they're bringing in all of these means to combat this, you know, and all the estrogen they put in, everything's wrapped in plastic, you know, it all,
the
all
BPA. This stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's all designed to completely destroy the human immune system and the human reproductive system. And it's all been done by design. I mean, they don't put all this stuff out for no reason. It isn't coincidence that they use a particular plastic that leaks estrogen into the food to wrap all the food in. I mean, they could use other plastics that don't do this, but they don't. And it isn't by chance that this is the way it is, you know. So, and when you look at what they're doing with vaccines as well, I've been talking to doctors, and what they're essentially doing with vaccines is by you know, rampant vaccine across the board for almost every disease you can think of, what they're essentially doing is weaponizing natural diseases. They're creating antibodies in people that will only ever combat one particular strain of all of these diseases, and this effectively weaponizes other strains of these diseases. So they seem to be setting the human race up for the release of a pandemic. And you see Bill Gates has been talking about this sort of stuff. You know, and when you look at some of the soul catcher technology and some of the things that they're doing here with, an astral net sort of thing, you know, being able to capture people's consciousness, running experiments. There's even some of these transhumanist guys saying suicide is okay if we can monitor what happens to the mind when someone suicides and maybe capture that mind and put it in a mainframe.
Wow.
I think these people are. So they're leading towards all of this. And when you look at things like what Elon Musk is talking about, injecting fetuses with a vaccine, which will, you know, a vaccine they call it, which will release nanobots into the brain and basically form a mesh over the brain so that you can be online, your brain's hooked up online. You know, and when you look at how this is all being combined, they're talking about manufacturing artificial sperm. They're talking about now they've discovered how to make artificial eggs all out of stem cells, put them in ectogenesis chambers, grow blank humans, inject a vaccine to them just before birth that puts a mesh over their brain, and you've got children being born online already. This is a terrible reality that they're creating, and the possibility of all this. I mean, it sounds like science fiction, but when you look at all the research that's out there in the mainstream, this is where they're going, and this is what they're looking at, and this is the direction they'd like to lead it. So it's pretty freaky.
It really is. I had Scott Tipps on the show a couple of weeks ago, and we touched on the vaccinations as well. I mean, still in this country, it is a parent's choice. Still in this country, how is it in Australia? Is it mandatory for children now to be vaccinated before they go into school, or do parents still have that option?
Well, they like it to be mandatory, and you can't receive any health benefits or childcare payments or anything like that if your kid's unvaccinated. So they're making it's not mandatory, it's just you can't have any of these benefits, you know.
Yeah.
So they're kind of forcing people into it that way.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to play a song, a 3-minute song, Matt, and we'll come back, and then we can try and look at some solutions on what people can do to combat what is going on.
Well, yeah, I really believe that the trick is non-compliance to the system. I really do. We've got to withdraw support from it. Question authority in everything that we do and withdraw support from it. I've been saying for 10 years, you know, people need to start building strong ties in their communities so that when we get to this point, we can withdraw support from the system and we've got the support of those around us to do it. You know, and, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people haven't done that. This is something that I've been suggesting for many, many years. And we're getting to that time now, you know, like mass non-compliance to the system would stop the whole thing in its tracks. Something I've tried to organize and I've started is a day of non-compliance once a month. You know, start off with once a month. Maybe we can build it to more than that once we get some numbers. But just if on the 15th of every month, no one spends any money at all and talk to your friends, get everyone to completely withdraw support from the system. And if you can take a day off work, do that. Just non-compliance, and maybe try to build that up, because, you know, everything we do to try to combat the system, all we're doing is going in and voting for the left or the right each time, which is either side of the same coin, or we're going and protesting in the streets, which always turns into something violent because the police make sure it does. Exactly, you know. Yeah, you get corralled into these little areas where the police lock you down, or you all march to some big podium in town and someone gets up and says a few words and then you all go home and nothing happens, nothing changes. Even with the Occupy movement, you know, Occupy Wall Street, that was great, all those people there in solidarity, but they had no direction.
No.
They don't realize that we already occupy the entire earth, we just don't occupy ourselves. And if we were to stay home and simply withdraw support from the system, what's anyone going to do? They can't do a thing. You know, people need to stop shopping with credit cards, stop using all this cashless rubbish, throw their mobile phones away. And I know that's going to be a really hard one for people to do, but that's something that they need to do. Get rid of your mobile phones, stop using all these apps and all this rubbish. You know, I see people walking around here, even in Amsterdam and in Holland, I see people walking around in these beautiful cities and they're looking at their phones. They're not even seeing the city around them. They're just looking at the map on their phone, looking where they're going. Then they glance up and look at a building as they walk past occasionally. It's ridiculous, you know. We're being led into this whole digital world. And a lot of this stuff that's going on, all this terrorism, all this lockdown that's happening is to distract us from that, to distract us from where we're actually being led, what's happening on the ground right in front of us, right under our noses. We're being led into this digital control grid, this cashless society, and nobody's paying any attention. And all this terrorism, all this shit, it's all staged by government. All of it is staged by government. Of course it is. You know, government have killed 262 million people in the last century, 262 of their own people, 262 million of their own people have been killed by governments in the last century, last 100 years. You know, like, it's a leading cause of death pretty well. So, you know, people need to pay attention to this. You know, terrorism is a commonly used method by government. And there's so many weird things going on with this London Bridge thing. Did you see that video of the cops getting changed on the side of the road? What was that all?
I haven't. Somebody put it up on my Facebook page last night, but I haven't seen it. And I know there's been massive debates going on.
Someone's put there, look, there was a guy lying on the road in battle fatigues in camo pants. It doesn't look like the same guy as the cop that was getting changed. But what's the story with cops getting changed on the side of the road? Like, cops in their underpants, putting on overalls and putting on camo pants and stuff. I've never seen activity like this. I mean, in the middle of a terror attack, you stop and get changed. This is really strange activity. I don't know what's going on with that, but I don't think it's the same guy that was lying on the side of the road. I mean, it's different light. It's hard to tell, but I think that's taking it a little bit too far.
I mean, we saw the Boston bombings. There was a lot when with the Boston Marathon, there was a lot of questions to be asked during that. As I say, I haven't looked into it, the London thing too much.
There was people. I reckon there was probably people killed in London, but the Boston Marathon looked like it was obviously staged. It really did. Same with Sandy Hook. I mean, that looked like they were obviously staged. But because of that, everyone's saying now everything's staged and everything's a hoax. And I don't think that's always the case. I really don't. I think it's a lot easier for them to kill people, and they don't care about people. They don't care how many people they kill to pull off some stunt to get new legislation through or whatever, you know. So it's a lot easier for them to be victims. But there's a lot wrong with this whole London thing. There's a tweet that came out early apparently as well. I mean, I don't know. But someone's saying they tweeted it early, which seems to be the case in all of these.
Yes, it does. There was Facebook pages with Sandy Hook, wasn't there, that were set up before.
What would they do this, just to fuel the conspiracy community or what? I mean, there's so many weird questions about it. I also got a message from someone who had friends on the bridge, and they said they left early because there was a massive police presence on the bridge before the attack, you know, so... And as I said, you know, you've got to look at who benefits. Who benefits from the attack? I mean, this is going to ensure that a Tory government stays in, which is going to ensure that their war on the Middle East continues.
Yep.
It's going to project more hatred towards Muslims, which ensures that, you know, there's more animosity towards brown people in general in the Middle East. So it's going to give more laws to the police, more powers to the police, allow the government to bring in new legislation. So who benefits from this attack?
Yeah, exactly.
Whoever carried out this attack plays right into the hands of the Tory government. You know, and then you see Theresa May saying, "Oh, we've got to possibly cancel the election, or at least cancel any more campaigning." You know, and like just while they're losing ground, they cancel campaigning right after Manchester again cancelled campaigning, threats to stop the election, and then they stopped that and said, "Oh, we'll just cancel campaigning," and now they've said it again. So, you know, who benefits from all this? There doesn't seem to be any Muslims that benefit from it.
No. And then we see, I saw something somebody put up earlier, that apparently Katy Perry has told everyone to go and hug a jihadist. So we had all the atrocities going on in Manchester. The lady who went to the concert was the Ariana Grande. She left the country. She got a lot of abuse because she upped and went. And now they put on this massive benefit concert with all these big, big names, the Coldplays, the Black Eyed Peas and everything else. I put on this amazing benefit concert, you know, for the victims of this shocking thing. It was children mainly, which, yes, it is shocking. But now who's going to benefit out of that company? The music industry, the big music corporations as well, you know, yeah. After this weekend.
Yeah, it's all such a scam. It really is. There's so much that just doesn't add up with all of this.
No. So where can we go, Max? I mean, you've said about the non-compliance. Anything else that people can start to do to come together?
Get to know your neighbours. People have got to start breaking down these barriers with their neighbours and start creating some dialogue with people in a language they can understand. You know, I mean, I've tried everything to when I do the shows. I mean, I really try to keep it. So I'm speaking in a really common tongue, in a language, and not taking it too far, you know, in a language people can understand. I try to keep it so that, you know, a new listener can come across the shows for the first time and wake up, but an old listener can still get something new out of it. But, you know, we've got to start breaking down the barriers with people and realizing that, you know, we're being led into a very, very dark, dark place. We really are. And a lot of these terror attacks, they're all contrived to keep us distracted. They're contrived to keep this war of terror going. We've got to stop this war. We've got to stop the funding of the war. We've got to start calling things out for what they are. You know, and it's, I don't know. I mean, if people aren't prepared to do it on their own, then I don't know what the solution is, Lou.
No.
I mean, the problem is that people want to be led. They want someone to come along with a game plan for them and say, okay, well, here's the steps we need to take for freedom, you know. Here's the new system we need to create or whatever, you know. What we've got to do is change our moral compass and stop tolerating bad behavior, stop tolerating evil, stop tolerating our politicians being corrupt and stop tolerating this slavery system that we live in. Yeah, and we can do that by simply withdrawing support from it. There is no other way out. There is no other way out that I can find. I've spent years looking at this. There is no way out that I can find to stop what's happening other than us withdrawing support from it, because we are the ones who hold it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's this whole need to pay to be alive that we're stuck in, this whole economic system, you know, whereby economics are put over people, that causes all the problems. And until we stop that, there's no hope for us. And that's only going to stop when we withdraw support from it.
Exactly. And I mean, even, you know, just stop using the big supermarkets. Start going down to your local shops, to your local butchers, to your, you know, support local. Stop spending your money in these big corporations, in the Tescos, the companies that are putting the little businessman, you know, maybe your next door neighbor out of business because they're coming and slashing the price of everything. The local independent traders can't continue because they can't compete on this scale with these gigantic corporations.
Yeah, well, there's that, but, you know, I mean, that's bad, but it's the fact that we even have to do this, that we have to set up these businesses to run our lives to have this income, you know?
Yeah, you know, and it's grow your own food.
And it's the way it's being led into this digital reality whereby all of that income and all of that money is going to be virtual, so it can be switched off at any time. You know, if you become a dissident, all they got to do is switch you off. If you end up having a chip, or you know, you got one of these digital cards, they can just switch it off, and that's it. You don't have any access to anything. Now, when that card opens your house and starts your car and you get your funds from shopping and all that sort of stuff from that chip, well, that's it. They've got you completely under control, and that's the way we're being led. And when it's an economically based reality, that's the problem. You know, people just get discarded. Until we stop that, it doesn't matter. And all this other stuff, you know, keeping us in fear, keeping us running between the lines, keeping police everywhere, that's what it's about, is just making sure there's police everywhere to watch us the way it would have been in any totalitarian regime you can think of. You know, only they want this whole digital control thing. So people have got to realize where we're being led and realize what this whole digital system is all about and how it's all combined with all this terrorism. It's all the same thing. It's all coming from the same place, and it's all leading towards the same ultimate goal. So, you know, people just have to become aware of it and see where they're being led and educate those around them to what's really happening and educate your kids. I mean, find a way of reaching the children, getting them out of this digital reality that they're being led into. That's the problem because, you know, these kids now that are 16, 17 years old are growing up into this. That's who's going to be running things in a very, very short time. And, you know, how many people have focused their attention there?
Exactly. So with the tour, Max, where have you been and how long have you been out on the road?
I've been out on the road since January. I went to Peru just to drop some stuff off and have a couple of weeks to relax. And then I went and spoke in Mexico.
Oh, wow.
At the Anacapulco conference.
Okay.
Then I went and did 5 weeks of Kambo workshops in Hawaii, which was quite amazing.
Fantastic.
That's Frog Venom. And then I went and spoke at Free Your Mind conference in Philadelphia. Then I went to LA and did a talk in LA with Benny Wills. That was a really good talk. And then I went to Canada and did a talk in Calgary. A guy called Tom Jones put on a talk for me. They met some great people in Calgary. Really was a really good event. And then went to speak at AV8, Ian Crane's AV8, which was a fantastic event. Ian always puts on a good event. And then the week after that, I spoke at Swindon in southern England as well. And then I went from there over to here in Holland just to visit some friends. It's very, very cheap to get over here from England. So
where are you? What's next for you after Holland?
Well, I've got to go down to Spain to catch up with some people regarding Full Circle Project. And then I've got to go back probably to the United States. I've got to go out of Europe for a couple of months because you can't stay in Europe for longer than 3 months. And then if you're here for 3 months, you've got to leave for 3 months. It's
right, I'm with you.
So I have to get out of Europe. So I'll probably go back to L.A. and possibly New York. I'm not sure, but I've got to go back to L.A. I'll do some talk, maybe possibly a talk over there and possibly a talk at the Rainbow Gathering. Maybe I'll get up and say a few words. I don't know. And a few things I've got to do over there. That'll get me out of Europe for 6 weeks or a month. Yeah. And then I've got to come back to speak at the Open Mind Conference in Copenhagen.
Oh, fantastic.
And then I go back to Peru, and then I've got to go and speak in Bolivia. And then I've got another month of Kambo workshops in Hawaii in November.
You know, you mentioned the Kambo. Have you done, whilst you were in Peru, did you work with the plant medicine over there? Did you do any works with the medicine over there, with the shamans?
Look, I've done plenty of work with plant medicines in Peru, but I haven't for the last couple of years. I haven't drank ayahuasca or anything for a few years.
No, neither have I. It's been a couple of years now.
Yeah, I just haven't felt the need to. But the Kambo I've been working with quite extensively. That's not really a plant medicine. That's a frog.
Yeah.
But I find that to be an incredible medicine.
I haven't. I've been, you know, I've heard so many fantastic things about it. But I don't know. There's something always held me back with that. I mean, I thought, you know, somebody mentioned that you're in pain, but I don't know. I haven't experienced it. But the reports I've heard about the massive healing benefits from that.
Well, it's not really painful. It's just it's uncomfortable. I mean, you feel like you've been poisoned because you have. So, you know, you kind of feel like you've been bitten by a snake or something. And you get quite ill. It's quite a horrendous experience, but it's over quite quickly. You know, 20 minutes or 40 minutes and it's over. And the healing is quite profound. I actually saw someone at AV8 who I served Kambo to probably 2 months prior in Hawaii, and they looked amazing. They were really, really glowing. And everybody that I spoke to that I served in Hawaii has had profound results from it. Feeling really good and totally leveled up on their life. So it's been really good. I had two people's eyes change color permanently.
Really?
Which was really good.
Wow.
That shows a lot of healing. That shows a real cleansing of the lymph system when someone's eyes change color.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was good. It was really, really good. It was a really positive experience. And I've had nothing but positive experiences with it. I've kind of developed a really good relationship with Kambo.
How is it in Europe? Is it illegal over in Europe?
Well, it's legal everywhere.
Oh, it is? Fantastic.
Yeah, it's nothing illegal about it. I mean, it doesn't give you visions or anything, although you can. There was one of the patients in Hawaii set up and had visions for the whole experience.
Yeah.
mean, people can have visionary experiences on it, but it's not really about that. It's about
healing,
cleansing.
Yeah.
Really, really deep cleansing. So, yeah, I found it to be incredibly beneficial. I had such incredible healing from it when I first used it that it's the first medicine that I'd ever been called to learn how to serve to help heal other people, because it was just so profound what it did for me.
Yeah. I mean, now because it is healing people, no doubt there will be something to come in and restrict people from using it if it is actually helping people. As we know, can the pharmaceutical companies get anything out of it? And if they're not, well, we better put a ban on it.
Yeah, well, screw the pharmaceutical companies, you know. This is the thing, you know, all these the people have got to lose this belief that anybody has a right of ownership over them. They really do. I mean, that's what the government does, you know. It tricks people into believing that it has a right of ownership over them. And the government doesn't have a right of ownership over you. The government are your employees. And everything these people are doing is abuse of office, all of it. And they get away with it because we don't call it. You know, if they choose to ban these things, they need to show cause why they shouldn't be held in abuse of office. Even for banning cannabis. I think the banning of cannabis is a crime against humanity. Any politician that supports it should be removed from office and charged with crimes against humanity. It was banned under false pretenses. It's a really healing plant. I've cured many, many people of cancers, terminal cancers, using cannabis. So, you know, this is the sort of attitude we need to have. You know, it's the same with a friend of mine who's been, someone's actually built a free energy device. I've been looking at a crew in London that have developed a free energy device, and it's quite amazing. It's actually Sasha Stone, and for all the bad press Sasha gets, you know, I've just spent a few days with him and his mother and a few people around him, and I was really impressed with what I saw. I really was. And this free energy device looks quite amazing. But even with that, when he was talking to some of the high-up people in the energy business and connections to the UN and stuff, and people that were saying, well, you know, we can fast-track your compliance and regulations and all this. What have you done about licenses and regulations? And he was saying, well, I haven't done anything because I'm not interested in them, because I'm not getting them, because, you know, all of this compliance and all this stuff you guys want to do, it's all part of the UN corrupt UN system, yeah, and it doesn't serve us. And if you think that's what I'm going to do, I'm not interested in doing that. There won't be any compliance. There won't be any regulatory control. This is free energy that will be given to the people. It's as simple as that, you know, and that's the attitude people need to have with all of this stuff. You know, if they're telling you you can't grow cannabis and you can't use cannabis, ask them why. What, because they wrote down on paper? Well, how does that work? Was this a paper-based reality? Are we supposed to live by a paper-based reality? This is why I always bring Gaza and Palestine into it, because if that's right, if you've written down on paper that I can't use cannabis and this is a paper-based reality, well, there's also a piece of paper called the Fourth Geneva Convention, which says that anybody who carries out collective punishment is committing a war crime, which is what Israel is doing, and you are supporting that state. Therefore, you are committing war crimes. So what makes your legislation valid if it could be seen you're a war criminal under your own legislation? How can you enforce your legislation on me? Let's discuss who the hell you are and why a war criminal should be attempting to inflict me with any restrictions on my life.
Yep.
That's the attitude we need to have towards these politicians, because the problem is this world is run by a criminal class, and we don't call it, which is why they get away with it. You know, we pander to them, we vote left or vote right or do this or do that or petition them, rather than facing the fact that the world is run by a criminal cacistocracy, the worst people, the worst scum of the earth, who are waging war and destroying this earth and fracking and doing everything they can, carrying out all these terror attacks, employing police and training them to be brutal and inflict themselves upon the people rather than protect the people. All of this shit happens because we tolerate it. We don't question it because we think we're little people, and we've forgotten that government are our employees. They are not our rulers. Screw these people. They are criminals, and we need to call it out, and we need to stand together to do it. So if people aren't prepared to do that and change their moral compass and stand up for what is right, then there is no solution.
Well, they're responsible, aren't they? They are responsible for it. They can't.
Because there isn't one if they're not prepared to implement it themselves.
Max, you are on fire. Thank you so much for today. When can people hear you next? When's your next show on?
Oh, next week, next Friday, goes to air every Friday.
Okay, and how do people listen?
Pardon?
How do people listen? Via YouTube?
Yeah, yeah, via YouTube. It goes out on the radio as well. Sorry for the rant, but
no, that's perfect. It's exactly how you've said exactly how I feel, Max, and it's that. That's why I want to end on that note, because that's you're spot on. You're completely spot on.
Well, that's exactly how I feel, though, and that's what needs to be implemented. So,
and people need to take responsibility for where we are.
You can get it on my website, thecrowhouse.com. It goes to YouTube as well, or you can listen to it on the American Voice Radio across America every Friday night.
Yeah, but people do need to start taking, you know, they are responsible. We've allowed this to happen, and we can't sit back and moan if we continue to happen. We play into the hands.
Exactly.
Max, all right, Egan, thanks for thank you on. So much. We'll speak again soon. Take care.
Right,
cheers, Max. Bye. Wow, Max on fire today. So that's it. There are loads of messages, and you know, obviously we're on Sound Art. Some of the views with the guests aren't the views of Sound Art. I just need to make that perfectly clear. That's it for today. My mic wasn't on earlier after I played the Axemen. Four-piece band from Paignton playing next in July. I'm going to play out with their final song. Not their final song, but one of their songs to end the show with. I'll be back next week live at 11. Don't know who we'll have on yet. We'll just have to see what progresses through the next week. And then we can carry on. So yeah, as I say, they Axemen are playing at the Cork and Bottle in Paignton down here in Torbay on the 15th of July at 8 o'clock in the evening. And I'm going to play out with them now. So we're going to play out with Seek and Destroy by Axemen. Thank you so much. The podcast will be up later on. Thank you so much for Sound Art for having me. So this is Seek and Destroy by the Axemen. And they've got a Facebook page. Have a look. Axemen.